Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation this morning is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the middle of a valley, which was full of bones. He had me pass through them and go all over among them. There were very many on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" I answered, "Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Lord God says to these bones: I am about to make breath enter you so that you will live. I will attach tendons to you. I will put flesh back on you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, as the bones came together, one bone connecting to another. As I watched, tendons were attached to them. Then flesh grew over them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind that this is what the Lord God says. From the four winds come, O wind, and breathe into these slain so that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them, and they came back to life. They stood on their feet, a very, very large army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are saying, 'Our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We have been completely cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them that this is what the Lord God says: My people, I am going to open your graves and raise you up from your graves and bring you back to the soil of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you on your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. In the name of Christ, who has sent His Holy Spirit to make us a new creation as children of God, dear fellow redeemed. There are a few times in American history where hope seemed to be a rare commodity. One of those times was during the Great Depression in the 1920s and 30s. To say hope was a rare commodity is an understatement. The U.S. GDP fell 27% between 1929 and 1933. Unemployment at its peak was 24.9%. 9,000 banks closed, and anyone who had money in them lost everything. 1.5 million people were homeless. 40% of the nation lived under the poverty line. And the child mortality rate was 65 for every 1,000 births. What made hope such a rare commodity was not the fact that these numbers rose so high. Americans have endured difficult times since their birth as a nation. Rather, it was the fact that these conditions endured that made people lose hope. For 10 years, America and much of the world was thrust into this Great Depression. A year or two, and you might be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and keep up hope that the worst will come to an end. But 10 years? That is much harder to envision. Ezekiel knew a lot about hope being a rare commodity. Being a prophet during the exile in Babylon, he saw his people taken captive, Jerusalem destroyed, and the temple torn down. He and so many others were sojourners in a foreign land, a people who were supposed to be God's chosen ones. Now they were broken into pieces under the mighty arm of the Babylonian Empire. That alone is enough to find hope a rare commodity. But then you consider that this brokenness would last for 70 years. At that, they are as good as dead. But despite all the hopelessness that fell among the people, God had a plan. And he showed that plan to Ezekiel in our text this morning. Not only was it a vision of redemption for the people of Israel, but was a promise of awakening for all of God's people. Today we consider the power of the Holy Spirit reviving our deadness. The Valley of the Dry Bones is one of the most well-known sections of Ezekiel. His book is filled with visions from the Lord, many very difficult to understand. However, here the meaning cannot be clearer. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley which was full of bones. He had me pass through them and go all over among them. There were very many on the valley floor, and they were very dry. The bones that Ezekiel was looking over stood as a representation of his people, the nation of Israel. They were dead. This was true in multiple ways. First of all, as a nation. They had not heeded the Lord's command to repent of their sins and return to the true worship of Him. And as a result, God took away their status as a sovereign nation away from them. They would be captives. First under the Babylonians. Then under the Greeks. And after a short time of independence, under the Romans. The pride of the Israelites had soared to extreme heights. They felt that they were untouchable because they were the people of God. And as long as their lives were going well, then God must be pleased with them. And doesn't matter how they live their lives. And that leads directly into the second way. Israel was dead. They were dead spiritually. The spiritual lifestyle of the Israelites had decayed to such an extent that they went to full-blown idol worship. They would offer sacrifices to false gods in the very temple of God. For a time, they even murdered children, offering them as sacrifices to the god Moloch. Every man's heart was turned to himself and against his neighbor. It was more important that I get rich rather than heeding God's command to love your neighbor. And God didn't just let them fester in their iniquity. He sent prophet after prophet to call his people to repentance. And it was to no avail. The people did not listen. And they would become like dry bones, completely dead and helpless. It is almost too easy to make a comparison to the state of our country today. A mockery is made of God's institution of marriage. Murder of infants continues to be celebrated. Those who do abide by God's commandments are cast down as a vile of society. Imagine if God were to send a prophet like Jeremiah or Ezekiel to our nation today. What do you suppose would happen? The same thing that happened in their day They would be beaten, rejected, and killed. It is no secret to anyone that the spiritual life of this nation has decayed to become like dead, dry bones. And what about you? Has any part of your life been a desire to be like the world, dry and dead, rather than the flesh and blood of God? To be naked, dusty, and lifeless bones? When I put it that way, the answer is probably a resounding no. And yet that is exactly what our sinful flesh yearns for. Like Israel, you and I were like that valley of dead, dry bones. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins, dead as members of Satan's family. There is nothing that our sinful flesh desires more than to return to that state of deadness, to swallow up the poisonous celebrations of this world and the lies of Satan. And it's easier than you think. All it takes is for one small compromise of God's word, one sliding your hand over a passage in Scripture because it just doesn't sound right to you. And you're already on the slippery slope to spiritual deadness. The Apostle Paul reminds us, just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The children of Israel thought they were safe to do whatever they wanted because they were God's people. Are you tempted to do whatever pleases you because you belong to a church? Holy Spirit preserved this vision of Ezekiel as a warning to God's people of all time to not forsake the word of the Lord. Do not fall so far afield from God's will that an even worse judgment falls on you, eternal death. He said to me, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" I answered, "Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I'm about to make breath enter you so that you will live. I will attach tendons to you. I will put flesh back on you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord." The Lord poses what seems like a ridiculous question. There is no physical way for those bones to live. In a dry climate like Babylon, it would take only 4 to 6 months for there to be only bones remaining from a human body and to be dried out. And yet Ezekiel answers in faith, "Lord God, you know." Ezekiel knew that God was powerful, and if he desired to do anything, he was able. And do something, God did. He had Ezekiel prophesy over the dry bones a promise of restoration. And then something incredible happened. "As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, as the bones came together, one bone connecting to another. As I watched, tendons were attached to them. Then flesh grew over them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them." The impossible was made possible because God decreed it. Those dry bones received tendons and flesh and skin, a new body. But even that wasn't enough for God, because there yet was not breath within them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind that this is what the Lord God says. From the four winds come, O wind, and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them, and they came back to life. They stood on their feet, a very, very large army. The breath of life entered into those with flesh and bones, and they were brought back to life. A jaw-dropping vision, to say the least. And yet, that miraculous act is not the most amazing part of this vision. It is in the explanation that God gives to Ezekiel. Therefore prophesy and say to them that this is what the Lord God says. My people, I am going to open your graves and raise you up from your graves and bring you back to the soil of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you on your land and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done it, declares the Lord. Dead, dry bones is a perfect illustration for a captive people in a spiritually bankrupt nation. Flesh, tendons, and skin. The perfect illustration for redeemed people in a restored nation. God made a promise long before the exile to bring restoration back to his people. They would not remain in Babylon forever, but they would return to their homeland because the Lord keeps his promises. More important than that is the breath of life that God breathed into those bodies. The breath of life he promises to breathe into his people. Remember, Israel was spiritually dead. They had abandoned God completely and viewed him as equal to the gods of the pagan nations surrounding them. But rather than abandoning his people, God was committed to keeping his promise that he made to send a Savior through the line of Judah. God remained faithful, despite being rejected. He faithfully orchestrated world events in order to bring the redemption of his people. Something they did not deserve. But the love of God and his free grace and mercy provided it for them. And this promise of restoration and redemption has been promised to you as well. And in fact, you have already received the fulfillment of it. Part of why God promised a deliverance from Babylon was in order that the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, could fulfill all prophecies concerning himself and his work and bring life back to a spiritually dead people. 2,000 years ago, God was laying the foundation so that he was able to call you out of your spiritual deadness of your sin and give you the breath of life in his Son. When God restored Israel, he was beginning to fulfill this promise to you. You have life because Jesus suffered on the cross to pay for your sins. He died in order to pay the debt that you owe to God. And he rose from the dead so that life is secured for those who once were dead. Today we are celebrating the festival of Pentecost, the day in which Jesus sent the Helper, his Holy Spirit, to his disciples and unto all who have heard the good news of sins forgiven. That means that the Holy Spirit has been given to you as well. In fact, he is the very reason you are here this morning. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I would be like those lifeless bodies. Sure, we have skin, flesh, and tendons, but all that means nothing if we do not have the breath of life. Jesus could die the perfect death, But if someone doesn't breathe into our dead souls, we would still be lifeless bodies. The Holy Spirit revives our deadness. And He does this in a number of ways. First of all, He creates the faith in our hearts. Upon hearing the gospel or at your baptism, the Holy Spirit entered your heart and gave you that breath of life, your faith. He is the one who enables you to look at the glorious truths of Scripture and believe them, to read them with understanding and rejoicing. Secondly, He feeds and strengthens that faith. We still have a sinful flesh, and there is that constant battle going on inside of you as to who has control. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to your heart in order to feed it, strengthen it, and fight against your sinful flesh. He is the one who keeps that deadness that God has delivered you from at bay. And thirdly, He remains with you. As sinful people, we need a constant reminder to keep our sin in check. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, but He also assures you of the forgiveness and gives comfort and guidance in your daily walk as Christians. This comfort and guidance is what allows us to walk confidently through this world of dry bones. Through the Word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, the Holy Spirit keeps us on the straight and narrow way to eternal life. What does this mean for the times when hope appears to be a rare commodity, like the Great Depression? Well, it serves as an encouragement to call upon the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to bring life to what has become your dead bone situation. Let Him be the one who transforms you from nothing into a living, breathing, glorifying child of God. Requests that will certainly be answered without restraint. In our dear Savior's name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our two verses of our offertory, hymn number 798 in the TAN Worship Supplement, if you want the music.